Okay, the Beatitudes. We're continuing our study on the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are eight rememberable sayings of Jesus. Short sayings that we can remember that speak to our hearts. All right? And they help us, they help our heart become the type of heart that would listen to Jesus and to do the things that Jesus says. That we would be like people that build our homes on the rock. We listen to Jesus and we do it. And when the storms come and they beat, you know, we got a couple of storms coming, right? They may come here, they may not. The wind, they beat on our house. We hope when it's over, it's still standing. And Jesus says, that's what we are like. Okay, if we listen and do. And the Beatitudes help form us, help form our heart into people that are ready to do that. Now, 2 weeks ago, Dean talked, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That we understand who we are, that we don't merit the kingdom, and we go to God, right, and say, you know, I'm a sinner, Lord. I can't be in your presence unless you allow me, unless you invite me in. I don't earn it. And then last week, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's trouble in the world, and we're all impacted by it. And we cry out to God. We mourn. We say, God, help us. This is difficult. I can't do this. The only way I can survive is for you to enter into this situation. So we declare our dependence upon God. And when we do that, we can find comfort. He brings us comfort in many ways. So today is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I think this is extremely relevant for us today. It speaks right into American society today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness has to do with interpersonal relationships. You know, maybe the first beatitude had to do with me. The way I relate to myself. The second one, how I relate to God. This one has to do with how we relate to each other. It's an interaction type thing. And as you know, there's 7.5 billion people on the earth now. We all live closer to each other. And the internet and 24/7 television brings everybody closer each other, and we have all of these interactions. And even if we don't interact face to face, you know, we interact with the television, right? We interact with what's going on in Portland because we hear it and we have a response to it. We interact with it. Our life is full of interactions, and meekness speaks to interactions. You know, every time we have an interaction with somebody, all right, whether it's a positive or a negative, we choose what our part's going to look like in that, right? We choose whether I'm going to be nice, or I'm going to be angry, whether I'm going to be, you know, just not respond at all, whether I'm going to engage, not engage. We choose. And for us who are citizens of the kingdom of God, who are followers of Jesus, you know, we should seek to react as Jesus would react in that situation. We've learned from him how to live our lives. So today, what would Jesus do if he was living in Montgomery County today? How would he respond to everything that's going on? And how would he respond to individuals? And we should seek, I think, to do the same, to try to learn from him. And we know Jesus was meek, right? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, right? And I'll give you rest. You know, I am meek and lowly, or humble of heart, right? Jesus was meek, and he says, come to me. Come to me. He was approachable, right? It was like, you don't need to be afraid to come to me. You can come talk to me, right? You can come have an interaction with me because I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. And you may be struggling. You may be whatever. You may have some issues, but come to me. We can talk about this, right? And is that, so we need to learn about this. So what does it mean? What's the biblical meaning, or what, not the biblical, but what did Jesus mean, or how was it understood by his audience when he said, blessed are the meek? So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about what it means to inherit the earth, and then we'll talk some about how we get the power or the gumption, whatever, to demonstrate meekness. So what does it mean? So picture in your mind, what does it mean? You have a picture in your mind of meekness, right? I think generally we talk about he's meek as a lamb, right? We talk about that. But I want you to think about a horse today, okay? Not just any old horse, but a stallion. And young, 2-3 years old, strong, you know, tall, full of energy, all right? I want you to think about that some as we consider this idea of meekness. Because meekness does not mean a lack of strength, right? It doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean uncertain. It doesn't mean insecure, right? It doesn't mean delicate. It doesn't mean shy. It doesn't mean introverted. And a lot of times that's what we think about when we hear somebody that's meek. All right. See, I can be strong and I can be meek. I can be confident and I can be meek. I can be a leader. I can be meek. I can be outgoing and I can be meek at the same time. So meekness doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't mean weak. Okay. So what does it mean? Now, the primary meaning of meekness or meek, all right, in the language of Jesus' time was tame, all right? Talking about an animal who had been tamed, who was tame. So you have the stallion, strong, okay, full of energy, but he's tame. He's obedient. He's able to be ridden. He controls his spirit so that he can be useful to you, right? So ultimately, meekness carries the idea of a person whose spirit is in control, somebody who's tame or mild or, and I'm not so tame sometimes, right? I'm not. There's lots of times in my life when I don't act like somebody who controls his spirit. Now also, the idea of meekness has a couple of first cousins. Now in Albania, first cousins all live in the same house, right? The grandmother may call one of them, you know, by everybody, you know, one of them, all of them have one name. They all swap names and stuff like that, right? So the cousins are first gentleness. You see in the scripture, meekness and gentleness walking hand in hand with each other. You'll see them a lot, just meek and gentle. Meek and gentle, right? And then the second cousin would be humility, all right, or humbleness. The closest cousin is gentleness. The second cousin would be humility. Jesus says, I'm meek and humble of heart. Right? Humbleness is that I'm willing to serve you. I see you and count you as more important than myself. Paul says in Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2, the beginning, that you consider others as more important than yourself and look after their needs. All right? So when we think about this idea of meekness, we should put all of those together. My spirit's controlled, right? I'm not aggressive, all right? I'm not harsh, but instead I'm gentle. I'm approachable. I'm mild, right? And I'm humble. I'm willing to serve you. I don't have such a high opinion of myself that I can't invest and serve you. You know, in the Old Testament, this idea of meekness was often, the word was referred to as, it referred to those that were poor or afflicted, those that didn't have power, those that didn't have rights, those that didn't have status, those that life looked like they weren't blessed. I think that goes with humility some, right? That I approach, as a meek person, I approach life. You know, I enter into someone's office. I go to the store, right? I talk to somebody at a government office like somebody that's just, you know, I'm poor and I'm uneducated and I'm, right? As opposed to somebody with power and somebody with money and influence, okay? All these go together. So think about that horse, okay? We've got a stallion that's broken, that's tame, all right? And the stallion's there in the corral or out in the yard. And I go up with my little granddaughter, 9 years old, about this tall, right? And she's able to walk up to the horse because the horse is gentle. Not only is it, you know, tame, it's gentle. She rubs his nose and stuff like that, you know. Then I take her up and put her on the horse. This stallion that is strong and independent allows himself to be controlled by this child, right? He's humble. He said, I'm going to be in your service, right? So that kind of gives us an idea of this, of meekness. And there's one other element I think that's very important to meekness that we see in the scripture. And this element is, I do not respond to wrong with anger. Okay? That a meek person can be wronged, can have experience an injustice, can have a goal blocked, and he or she does not get angry. You know, you think about this child again. She walks up. She pokes the horse in the ear, right? She pulls his whisker. Maybe she even kicks him in the shin. You know, you take a big old stallion, even though he's broken, she walks up, she kicks him in the shin. What's he liable to do? To get mad, to get angry, to rear up. No, this horse just takes it, okay? Because he doesn't lose his temper. He doesn't respond to her in anger. You know, I tell my grandkids, when your dog's eating, it's a nice dog. You know, he's good to you. But be careful. Don't put your hand down there when take his food away from him. He may not like that. He may snap at you, right? You know, a meek person doesn't do that. You know, this is important to us. So where somebody who's, how will we say that? A gentle, humble person whose spirit is under control, who does not respond to injustices or wrong with anger. Now, this is important because we, in this world, we experience trouble. We experience injustices. And, you know, Jesus says, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you should turn the other cheek, right? That takes some meekness to be able to do that. You slap me on one cheek, we're going to have a little bit of, you know, maybe we're not going to throw punches, but you and I might have words. And Jesus says, okay. You know, there's an example in the Old Testament. I'll give you two examples, one positive, one negative. Who was the meekest person in the world. It's Moses. Now that verse is interpreted humble, but the word used is the Greek word in the Septuagint is meek. It was translated meek in the Bible in Jesus' time. Moses was the meekest person in the world at that time. Now that verse is kind of an aside when you look at it in Numbers 11, I think. What was going on when that verse came up? Do y'all remember or not? His brother and his sister decided that they had had enough of his leadership, right? And so they kind of start or trying to foment a little rebellion. They said, who are you? You know, we're just as good as you are. Why is God honoring you? So we've got this personal kind. It's just interesting to me. It never dawned on me before, right? This is in the middle of a personal conflict. And Moses responded. He didn't respond in any anger in that. He ended up praying for him at the end. God took care of it for him. Alan, I just, you know, I get on the phone. I call the, you know, the Medicare pharmacy people. You know, I need my medicine. Well, sir, we can't do this. We can't do this. I said, look, I called you last week. You know, I don't know what's up with you people. Right? I am so sick and tired of dealing with you. All right? I need my medicine. I pay my bills. You've got the script. I've signed up for Medicare. And I need my medicine. And I tell you what, you need, I'm sorry. Okay? I know nobody, none of you are that way. All right? None of you are that way. All right? But sometimes we have a tendency when we're blocked to achieve something to be somewhat aggressive. Now, we may not get angry, and we may be nice about it, but we're aggressive, right? Meekness, that's why these sayings are good. I'm sorry, I confess this. I have a tendency to be that way. I went to Albania. I was bombarded all the time with things that just I thought were wrong, right? And God showed me, Alan, you got a real problem. In America, you've been able to mask this some, but over here, it's taken away. Those safeguards are taken away. And so I've learned, Alan, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, or my wife, Alan, blessed are the meek. And then I begin to think, okay, it's the Spirit speaking into my heart. So inherit the earth. I think that Jesus was... He had in his mind Psalm 37 when he spoke this beatitude. And it wouldn't surprise me if his mother, if he didn't have this committed to memory, the whole psalm, or if Mary, you know, Mary didn't talk to him about it and teach him. Now, this psalm, I'm going to run out of time if I keep teaching this, okay? But this, no, well, we don't have to 11:30 or 12, you know. This psalm talks about two types of people, and both of them are seeking to inherit the earth, all right? One is the wicked, and the wicked seeks to inherit the earth through implementation of evil schemes, verse 7. He plots against the just, verse 12. He violently oppresses the poor and needy, verse 14. He borrows money and he does not pay it. He seeks opportunity to kill the righteous, and they enlarge their influence through the use of power. Because I'm trying to inherit the earth, right? And I use all these evil schemes to do it. And David, who wrote this, says, you know, ultimately they're not going to inherit the earth. They're going to wither up. They're going to die. They're going to be thrown away. The meek will inherit the earth. Inherit the earth is used five or six times in this. And in the center kind of is the meek. The meek, the righteous, a person that displays these attributes will inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth, he says in verse 11, and shall delight in the abundance of peace. Well, what's interesting is the first eight verses. David starts, do not fret. because of this person who's trying to steal your land from you. Do not fret. Now, fret, I don't know why we use the translation fret, because it's just the wrong word. The idea of fret is to kindle a fire, right? It's like, in my heart, I've got this seed of anger, and I begin to kindle it such that it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, all right? And David says, do not fret. And then down in verse, he closes his part. He says, don't fret. He says it again. He says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Right? Do not get angry, because it only causes harm. Now, the meek are going to inherit the earth. And instead of fretting, instead of getting angry, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. This is a key verse. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Alan, you're getting angry. You know, don't get angry. It's just going to make things worse. Right? Instead, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in him. Commit your way to the Lord. Walk in his ways. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Display meekness. Because the meek are going to inherit the earth. This thing that is so important to you, that you are seeking after, that's been blocked, you get angry. Don't get angry, bro. God's going to take care of you. The meek are going to inherit the earth. Now, he says in verse 11, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, what does it mean to inherit the earth, right? Now, we know that in the future, there's going to be the kingdom, and we'll all have a place in the kingdom, right? But David's talking to these people right now at this time, and he says, ultimately, they're going to be cut off, right? Their schemes will not prevail, and you who are godly and not angry, you're going to inherit the earth. But he says this. Listen to what he says. He says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And the idea is that everything belongs to God, right? And we, because we have an inheritance, we're going to be given a portion. It's still his land. But we get to live on it and to cultivate it and to flourish it and enjoy it, right? We will be given a lot, like a parcel, a lot in life in the future. But we're given a lot today. You have a lot in life. Now, your lot might be under a bridge in a tent. Your lot may be as a university student in your parents' home, right? God's given you a situation in life. And he says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell where he's put you. Dwell in the lot that God's given you. Rely on his faithfulness, and you are going to experience an abundance of peace. A quick illustration. In Albania, we lived in a multi-story apartment, right? Four apartments in one floor. We all looked at each other, right? 12 stories up. We all shared, you know, lots of togetherness, all right? Now, we had a nice apartment. We liked it. It was a nice apartment. It had a good, it was in a good location, had a good view. It was very important to Ann and I, to for us. God blessed us with it, okay? And we had a neighbor that wasn't so nice, all right? We also had an administrator that just didn't do a very good job. We had an elevator that didn't work very well. And he was always trying to manipulate money out of people to work on the elevator. And I just thought, you know what? You're not spending this money on the elevator, right? You just want money. Fix it. You make the elevator break so that we'll give you money, right? That was wrong for me to think that. And sometimes I reacted poorly. Now, we could have just, like, been angry all the time at our neighbor that wasn't so nice, at the administrator, and not enjoyed the blessing that God gave us, the lot that we had in life at that time, right? And God is saying, Alan, dwell here, right? Feed on his faithfulness. What if you graduate from university? Maybe out people online, there's some students that are from university, and you're living in your folks' house, right? You got a room. And your mom, your dad, we'll pick on not your mom. Moms will never do this. Your dad makes you mad, right? He says something. And so you have a fight with your dad in the house. You know, what's life like for you at that time? You got angry, and now all of a sudden we have tension, right? He's saying, dwell on God's faithfulness. You don't want to be here. You know, your parents are hard to live with. Right, I know that, but there's a room, and they're blessing you right now. Dwell, feed on my faithfulness. Commit your way to me. Trust in me, and you will experience an abundance of peace. You know, there's a cool thing in here. I worry some. I know none of you do. Maybe you guys do, Phil and Evelyn. I worry about what's America going to be like. You know, I'll probably not be here when it goes to pieces, but what about my grandkids? You ever think about that? You know, what's America going to be like for my grandkids? Oh, woe is us today because it's falling apart and I'm going to leave something to my grandkids that's not worth having. David says, he says, I'm young, I've been, he says, I have been young, and now I'm old. And I've not yet seen the righteous forsaken. You've always got food, a place to stay, shelter, clothes. I've not seen them forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Like, you know, I worry about my kids, so I fight and I get angry, right? And I, all this conflict, all I can do is think of the Albanian word, perlasie, all this conflict, right? And David says, chill, don't get angry. Feed on God's faithfulness. I've not seen a righteous person yet to beg bread. And you know what? His descendants are going to be blessed. You're worried about your grandkids. God can take care of your grandkids just as easy as he can take care of you. You need to teach them not to get angry, to demonstrate meekness, to trust in God. So how do we get this? How do we get the power to be meek? How do we get to the internal fortitude that when somebody confronts us and we need to accomplish something, that we can do it with meekness. We don't rear up and use all of our strength, that we still, we respond to evil, to injustice in a way that's meek, with gentleness, with a controlled spirit, with humbleness, without anger. And the scripture says that meekness is a fruit of the spirit. So it's something, it's just not natural for us. You know, Cain, the very beginning, got angry at his brother, right? We had a murder. From the beginning, this has been an issue for mankind. But God, through his Spirit, can transform my heart into a heart that displays meekness, that's gentle, that's approachable. And Paul says we need to walk in the Spirit. And I'll let Dean talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit later on, okay? But that's it's something that the Spirit does in our life. Jesus says, this is just cool, I think. He says, I've spoken to you while being present, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. One of the things that the Spirit does in this time when we're his followers is he brings in our remembrance the things that he has spoken to us. And through these teachings of Jesus, it transforms our heart so that we live life like Jesus, right? That's what the Spirit's doing. He's working in our heart. But and one thing the Spirit uses is he uses the Scripture who teaches us about Jesus, right? Who teaches us the gospel. So we should consider Jesus. You know, when he came in, he's powerful. He's powerful, right? When he came into Jerusalem, he was meek, riding on a donkey's baby, right? A foal of a donkey. He didn't come in on a big old stallion. He came in meek and lowly. You know, Pilate, this is, you know, two times, Pilate says, I find no guilt in him at all. And then the prosecutor argues some more against Jesus. And Pilate says, I find no guilt at him at all. And how does it turn out? Pilate says, take him and kill him. The ultimate injustice. He goes before the judge, right? Even though there's false witnesses, the judge says he's not guilty. There's not an ounce of guilt inside of this man, right? But you know what? Just take him and kill him. The ultimate injustice. And Isaiah says, you know what? He didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb, a sheep that's led to slaughter, he didn't open his mouth. That's who we follow. The gospel, we don't demand our way. The gospel is just given to us, right? The salvation. You know, when we were enemies, when we were against God, he sent Jesus who died for us. The gospel is a picture of a meek God who's not angry, who doesn't withhold justice from us, who wants the best for us, who is approachable, right? Because of what he did. You know, I could talk a long time, right? I just think this is important for us today. I really do. America, at this moment, we hear it all the time, is divided, right? We've got people that are against each other, and they're yelling at each other, right? They're not listening to each other. We've got an interpersonal relationship, a conflict going on. And I think it's just important to us as Jesus followers that we learn how to demonstrate meekness inside of that, that we refrain from anger. We do not respond with anger. If I'm watching the television and I see something that I do not get angry. David says, don't fret. Don't let that thing inside of you get stirred up. You know, and we've got two sides. And if the other side prevails, it doesn't matter which side it is. Both sides think it's going to be the end of the world, right? If the other side prevails, what does God say? What does David say? He says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Right? Inherit the earth. Enjoy your time here in the woodlands. I know I'm in charge of all of this, right? Your job's to don't fret. Dwell in the land. Trust in me. Feed on my faithfulness, Alan. It's going to be okay, right? You may think that, you know, your 401k is going to disappear, right? But I've never seen a righteous man go hungry. And his descendants are blessed. Right? What are you worried about? All right. Oh, wow. Five more minutes, okay? Three more minutes. End of the Bible. There's a cool story, a picture story. I love the way the Bible paints pictures. In heaven, there's, towards the end times, there's a book that comes out. And it's a sequel, right? It's going to explain how everything ends. And so it's brought out, and they say, who can open the book and read it to us? And they look around, a strong angel looks around. He goes out everywhere in the earth, heaven and earth. He says, there's no one that can open the book. And John begins to weep. Now think about it. You know, Tolkien writes three, the Lord of the Rings. He writes one and two. We're waiting for the end. And he writes it and he publishes it. And there it is. We can't open it. We can't read it. Like, oh, we need to read this. We want to know how it ends. This is important. But there's no one that can open the book. And then, you all know the story? And the angel says, John, bro, quit crying. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the lion, he's going to open the book. And so John goes, and he turns and he looks, and what does he see? He sees a lamb. He sees a lamb. And not just any old lamb, a lamb that was slain. And you know, and then creation begins to worship and praise him because he was slain for the redemption of the world. It was through meekness that God saved the world. It wasn't through power. It wasn't through anger. It wasn't through assertiveness. It was through meekness. And that's who we follow. So that's our challenge, I think. One day, everything's going to be made right. There will be, the wicked are going to be taken care of, right? That's God's business. That's God's business. He says, leave place for me, right? Leave it here. I'm going to take care of it. Your job is meekness right now, okay? So, thank you so much. It's good for me to have to thought about this, especially today, especially the way that I have a tendency to react to things. So I don't know about you guys, but for me, God blessed me this week, and I hope that he blesses you. Remember these sayings. They're helpful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. All right. Remember these. Let God use them in your heart. Next week, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we'll see what Dean has next week. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thanks for your word that teaches us. Thanks for Jesus, who even though he was the Messiah, even though he was the Creator, he came in meekness and humility with gentleness. and provided redemption for us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for what that teaches us. Help us to apply it in our lives. Help us to apply it as a church family. Lord God, we cannot do this on our own. We confess that. So teach us through your Spirit, we pray. And we pray again for our brothers and our sisters that are not here today, for those that are sick, for those that are fighting this virus. Lord, we pray your protection, your blessing on our whole community, every single person in our community. Lord, we pray your protection upon them. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.